There's a dude on my block that smokes cigarettes. And this motherfucker sounds, when he coughs, he sounds like a 1945 Studebaker trying to turn over. Yo, you can hear him coughing down the block. And he has a dog. And like, I try to make sure that he's away from me because his cough sounds like he can give you AIDS from a block away. That's right. How bad his cough sounds.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time for the Decoding 40 podcast. I am your host this week. This is Alaric. And I'm joined by two of my esteemed colleagues.
Hello, hello. This is Vincent, a.k.a. Vin's Daily Rant. Wishing everybody a good day out there. Good day, sir. The weather's beautiful in the NYC NJ area. Peace, peace, peace.
What's good, good people? This is your boy L. O. And man, I ain't changed, but I know I ain't the same.
Thank you for introducing yourselves. I guess we're going to do our housekeeping first of all. Text us at 619-940-4040. Leave us a message. Just get in contact with us. Give us some feedback on the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Tell us your favorite parts. If you don't want to text us or leave us a voicemail, you can email us at decoding40@gmail.com. You can find us on all the socials at decoding40. And, you know, just link up with us. If you are a small business and you're looking to promote your business and to sponsor this podcast, reach out to us. We'd love to collaborate with you and expand our, I was about to say expand ourselves. Pause.
No diddy.
No make.
Yeah, we can work together and expand our reach. What's been going on? What's happening?
Everything's pretty quiet week. Last week I got with some of my coworkers and I got my guns and I cleaned them up and I loaded my clips and I went to the gun range. A friend of mine's friend who was a police officer in the Orange area used to work at this gun range in the Union area of New Jersey. So we went there. He was able to get us a couple of lanes to shoot in. And this guy is a police officer, but he worked at the range for 3.5 years. This motherfucker was John Wick with the pistol, like the grouping and the head. Yo, I would not want to be the person he pulls a gun on as a police officer. Like, this guy.
Wait, I'm sorry. You use two terms. I'm not familiar with them. The grouping and the head.
The grouping of the shots. So the target has like a headshot and then the body shot. The headshot, the grouping of it was very tight, meaning that each bullet was like very close to each other on target.
Gotcha.
So black gentleman, too, it was nasty with the pistol. He was only shooting a pistol and he put that target 25 yards out and was hitting damn near the bullseye with a pistol. So his accuracy with the shit was like John Wick style. So went there, you know, I hadn't been to the range in probably almost 2 years. And I brought out the toys, man. I had a good time. We then went and got something to drink and some food at Miller's Ale House. And I realized this. I realized that while I do enjoy a nice cold Guinness, I do not have any joy for theme restaurants anymore. I can't do it. I had the salmon with some supposed cilantro rice and some mashed potatoes. Now, the salmon was okay. The rice had like maybe 2 cilantro leaves in it, and it was white rice with yellow corn in it, so it was definitely Karen flavored. And the mashed potatoes I can describe as KFC mash. It was just horrible. But after a couple beers and I was hungry, I ate all of it. I did all gone. So it was delicious in the sense that it filled my belly.
What was the name of the restaurant?
Miller's Ale House. It's a theme type of spot. It's like the equivalent of Chili's, but they have like a lot of beers and different types of things.
Like a chain restaurant.
It's like a chain restaurant, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I was thinking the theme is they're supposedly an ale house that has all these beers. So that would be the theme, you know, like one of those microbrewery type of situations.
Gotcha.
It's definitely chain, right? Well, that's probably the more appropriate word. So I did that. And then Saturday, I had to go in to work and was a part of a emergency fire department / police department rescue, which I let you guys know in the first. I think it was L said that what was the word you use?
Crisis actor.
A crisis actor.
No, Rick called you crisis actor.
Rick called me the crisis actor.
You were ready for the false flag.
And I was getting ready for the false flag, and it made me laugh because, crazy enough, they were taking video of us and pictures. Mm. And the one thing they kept saying was, really act it out. I mean, you know, really, really act like you're hurt and you know, make it believable. Mm. So what they do is they fill up this area with smoke. You can literally can't see, like, within your hand in front of your face. It's that much smoke in there. So
wait, how did you get this gig?
It's a part of my job.
Okay,
part of an emergency evacuation type of exercise.
Got it.
So we had to, it was mandatory for us to participate because they needed X amount of people to do it. So then what happens is they give you like a lanyard with a card on it. And if depending on the color of the card determines, and it has like some writing on it, like you have 9% of your body burned. One of my boys, he couldn't walk because his ankle was broken. But all of the cards that me and my boys had in the immediate area were orange cards, and the orange cards meant that you can't walk. So the fire department comes in and says, sir, are you okay? And I'm like, oh my God. So I was fucking, you know me, I'm crazy. I was like, help, the smoke is, I'm inhaling it. Oh, help me, Jesus Christ. I can't walk. Sir, please lift me. So these motherfuckers lifted my big ass. And the thing is that you have this idea that all firemen are, you know, these dudes can lift 400 pounds in their back. No, these two were the weakest fire department motherfuckers. They was like obviously volunteer fire.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is this a volunteer?
This was an FDNY. These dudes was just like, you know, during the week, they probably work in an office somewhere and they do the fire department thing just to get, you know, money off their taxes. These two, the weakest motherfuckers, lift me up. And I was like, yo, be easy. Don't drop me.
They probably just got back from Miller's Pub.
Listen, the night before, right? So,
no, hours.
I mean, if it was later in the afternoon, I believe you. It was early in the morning. They probably had a fucking 12 pack of cords in the trunk. But these dudes, like, they're lifting me, they're taking me out of the area, and then they were like, "Oh, we're gonna put you on the ground." I was like, "All right, game over. I'm not laying on the ground." But one of the dudes that I work with,
I'm sorry, because I'm really invested in this. You weren't laying on the ground initially?
We were sitting down, essentially. So we're seated, and then they come in, and it's the smoke is everywhere, and they're asking questions like, are you okay? Are you blah, blah? And I'm like, no, I'm hurt. I can't move. So they lift you up. They take you out. And at one point, it was raining. So they take us outside, and the area is kind of muddy and dirty. I'm like, nah, game over. Like, I can stand. No, sir, you have to lay down. I said, no, no. Game over, nigga. Like, I'm standing up. You can bring. And they were like, oh. So then one of my boys, they lifted his ass. My man is like 6'3", easily 270, 280. He's a big, big white boy. This dude is fucking big. And we kept laughing. Was like, yo, you're going to get an orange card. He was like, please, man, I hope I don't, because these motherfuckers ain't going to be able to lift me. They put his ass on a stretcher, lifted up the stretcher. It took like four fire department motherfuckers to lift his big ass up. Hmm. Four firefighters to lift him up. Then they had like this little car. So they put all of us in this little like Jeep type thing, and they put him on the back of it. When they put him on the back of it, the front of that shit kind of lifted up like it was doing a pop and wheelie. And then they brought us to like these tent area, and they, are you okay, sir? What's your injuries? I was like, oh, I got 9% of my body burnt. It's burning. Help me. I'm hurt. My lungs are filled up with smoke. I'm dying, you know.
See, that's unbelievable.
But if you add the smoke and some slow motion and some music and use some AI shit in there, yo, it's a crisis video.
Get over here! He can't breathe! He can't walk!
No! Medic!
I'm hurt. I can't move.
Sir, are you okay?
Oh my God! The smoke is, I'm inhaling it! Oh, help me, Jesus Christ! I can't walk. Sir, please lift me.
Are you okay, sir? What's your injury?
Oh, I got 9% of my body burnt. It's burning. Help me. I'm hurt. My lungs are filled up with smoke. I'm dying, you know.
See, that's unbelievable.
So what made me mad was, one, they didn't feed us until the very end, and I was hungry, so it was sponsored by Wawa's. So we had coffee and donuts, fucking sausage sandwiches and shit like that. I don't eat none of that shit no more, so I had some donuts and coffee. And then we were out by like 12 o'clock, came home, and the rest of the day, what did I do? I just came home, showered, and fucking played some video games, relaxed for the rest of the day. But it was quite an experience, quite an experience. Today we're back in class, which is cool. So we're back to learning something new with a job. And today I went to the dentist for the first time in a couple of years, and it felt good to go in there and not have to worry about anything because I have decent insurance. And it was my dentist that I used to go to when I worked for Transit like 10 years ago. And I finally, my insurance finally matched up with her again. And she was like, welcome back. She did the X-ray and she's like, all right, well, we need to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And she was like, well, you probably need like 3 implants and I'm going to plan to probably go to DR or Mexico somewhere because I'm not paying $2,000, $3,000 an implant. It's like $10,000 worth of work. I'm not going to do that. I can go to fucking DR or Mexico or somewhere else and do it for like $2,000 and get fucking mouth done if I want to.
You should get some Mexican teeth. That's what you're
They're actually they're not teeth. They're actually made from old Corona bottles, motherfucker.
Oh, El Chapo.
I want to get the Isley brother teeth. Shits look like chiclets.
In between the sheets.
Look at my teeth. They're so big and white. So went to the dentist. My teeth are so big. It's been a while and I forgot how much it hurts when they clean your teeth with that fucking laser water pick. And that shit goes. She was like, yo, she was cleaning that shit and she didn't give me no numbing agent or nothing. Because when my wife does it, they give her a numbing agent. When my daughter's done it, they give her a numbing agent. They don't. I think she secretly tortures.
With the water pick?
It's like this.
Oh, very, you're right. Yes, you're right. Shit, yes, it hurts.
I think that she gets off by torturing men with it. She's a very nice dentist, but I think that's how she gets her rocks off. She was like, I'm going to hurt this motherfucker.
And you got some weird fantasies, bro.
I think she tries to hurt people with it. But that shit hurts.
She got out of that conversation.
She's a dentist from Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, exactly. But nah, she's cool. I'm joking. But had that done, and now I'm home recording, and my teeth are cleaner, and I got to go back on Thursday. And she took x-rays. She was like, oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you remember that part in 40-Year-Old Virgin, clear all my appointments for the week. That's like basically what she wanted to say to me because I need work, son. There's a lot of work to be done. I have to get a wisdom tooth removed. It's
really
the whole. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a project. She looked at me. She's like, yeah, we're going to get all his benefit.
You about to get that work.
For real.
He needs it.
It feels good to have coverage. Trust me, because if it wasn't for that, I'd be like, pull it all out. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's basically my check-in, man.
Merch drop!
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Vin from Decoding 40 letting you know about Decoding40Pod.com. That's right, Decoding40Pod.com. That's our new site that's got all our merch on it. Decoding40Pod.com.
Decoding40Pod.com.
So over the weekend, I sent you guys a couple of pictures while I was at my son's soccer game. Yo, this dude is literally, I think he used to play.
Helicopter dad.
And now he wants to be a coach, but they haven't made him a coach. But he wants to be very close to the game. You saw how close he was standing next to the goal.
Yeah.
He was on the field.
What does the coach say?
Nothing. Because he or she usually talking to the coaches. So I noticed this game that they trust the players, and these are young players. These are like 11, 12, I think. Oh, no, they're under 11. 12 is the next level. That they'll run their own game. They'll call it pretty much fairly. There might be one or two discrepancies, but they can run the whole game without worrying about a ref calling a foul or anything like that or any call. So I think that's what happens. So they're not really paying attention to this dude standing on the field next to the goal. And I'm just looking at him like, man. So I told you after the game, he was like, hey, is that your son? He's like, yeah, he's really good, man. He just needs to work on, you know, keeping his head up and while he's kicking. But he's got what it takes to go to the next level. And I'm like, I know. I got something to tell you, but it's not going to come out right, my friend. And you're going to think, whoa, it's too came in too hot. So I was like, I just took it and I was like, all right, let me move on.
I think you should ask your son to test if this guy actually knows what he's talking about.
No, he does. He does.
And kick the ball towards his face while he's standing by the goal. See if
you would be surprised, but this is actually an activity that they do between games. There are kickers who give the ball some heat while someone is playing goalie. And they do, like in between games and when it's halftime. That's exactly what they do. And exactly what they did.
You should have been like, thanks for the compliment of my son. Obviously, your son hates you because you're bothering him and you won't let him be a fucking kid.
And it's great.
He just wants to play. He doesn't care.
He does.
Whether he goes to the Olympics, he doesn't.
His kid is crazy shy because I said, hey, you're a pretty good player. I love that you're the goalie. Went to give him a fist bump. And first of all, it's weird how people's dimensions and physical features look so different when you get close to them. Because I've never been close to this kid. I've only seen him as the goalie. I was like, this kid is way smaller than I thought he was and just way shy. So that was that.
Did he mouth help me?
Help me with you.
My dad's a fucking asshole.
Nobody's a good kid. I mean, the guy's probably a good guy, but he's very into wanting to be a part of the team and the game.
Yeah, so a little less enthusiasm.
Sir. Right. Like, at least back up a little bit.
This is how you get him to relax. You go, you know, I noticed something about you. You look like you might have played the game. You know, you have a certain, it's got to look, a soccer player look to you. Did you play? Man, he'll leave that kid alone at the goal. He'll have you in the stands talking your fucking ear off.
I don't see how you.
1985 was me.
I don't see how you thought that's a good plan.
Well, at least the kid will be able to play the game while this.
Yeah, but then he's going to be talking my ear off, and I don't want that either. Matter of fact, I want that less. He can go ahead and distract himself. Oh, next thing, got to give a shout out. The Knicks are actually playing tonight and we're recording. This is the second game. So I don't think we'll finish before the game is over, but go Knicks. My son and I watched the opening game where the Knicks won and beat the 76ers. That was a glorious game. Just good to see the Knicks in the playoffs, which is just fun. So it was fun watching the game with him. After the game, we actually did something that was, I found very cool. I don't even know how we came up with it, but he and I, this is my youngest son, he and I took turns because my oldest son is still in Tokyo having a great time. But my youngest son, he and I took the opportunity to play a song from our era, a hip hop song from our era. And we were trying to guess who the artist was. So for the most part, neither one of us got the artist, but it was an opportunity for us to kind of showcase who we thought was nice in our era. And ironically, he was picking a lot of good songs, even though I don't really get down with this new music or this new hip hop. And he was feeling the songs that I was picking. So it was like a good opportunity for us to kind of share music and talk about it. And after it was over, he was like, hey, man, I appreciate vibing with you.
Your youngest has a very old soul.
He really does. He really does.
He's been here quite a few times. And with the thing with the music, it's always good because it allows, I said a show or two ago, it bridges the gap, especially if they listen. Like my daughter listens to MF Doom, and I saw like she had posted we finally let her get an IG, and she had posted like some picture and it had the MF Doom mask and the song was playing. I was like, what do you know about that? She's like, oh, MF Doom. Yeah. I listen to this shit all the time. I listen That's to all dope. Stuff. That's and I was dope. Like, word. Okay. Let me find out. And I was telling her, I was like, yo, Nas got a new song with Premier. She was like, really? Wow. I was like, yeah, I love it. No doubt.
That's, I was saying earlier that when I played that song for him, his face scrunched up like,
Grits and grapes.
Who does he listen to? Like, who was some of the artists that he showed you?
Roddy Ricch, Lil Something, Lil Something Something, and Lil
One Lil's. Of Lil's.
Yeah, a bunch of littles. Everybody's a little. Mm-hmm. Or NBA, Never Broke Again, Young Boy. But everybody who you would think, Chief Keef, That's where he is in that space.
Chief Keef, he's still making music. I didn't even know that.
I don't know if it's new, but
okay.
Yeah, but he's listening to it.
I hate all that shit.
Does he like Griselda?
Oh, you know what? I should have played that. That might not be on his frequency. Mm-hmm. But next time we play that game and do that music challenge, I'll play that.
Tangent. Have either one of you listened to Talib Kweli's new album? I think it's called
Liberty. No, I know it's out, but I haven't listened
released
to it.
Released this year?
It popped up on my Spotify. It said new release.
Mm. It's probably listen in the last month or two, maybe. I think. Okay. Just go to mine.
Shit's fire.
Is it?
This shit is fire. I just happened to, I wasn't looking for it, wasn't anticipating it.
Oh, that's the best.
And I was playing it in the car. And it sounds,
I gotta listen to it.
Listen, man, I only take your recommendations on music when you play it in the car. That's the only time I'm listening to your reviews. If you say that, then I know.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go back and revisit the Nas premiere in the car.
Mm-hmm. Please do. Please do. Yeah. And then from the Curb Your Enthusiasm part of my life. So I'm at the library the other day and this woman is talking. I think she's on the phone, but she's not on the phone. She's talking to herself and she does not stop talking. Like whatever she's saying, because she's talking very low, but it's constant as if she's reading a book and the words are just going and she's having a conversation. Mm.
Full on conversation.
Then I sort of tune in and I'm like, she has a Southern drawl. Like, oh, this must be a Southern woman. So apparently people were complaining because she was audible enough and constant enough for it to sort of sound like it's droning on. Like I was sitting far enough away from her where I would kind of tap in a couple of times. Ironically, the times I tapped in, I thought I heard her say, "Little Niglet." What
did she say? I can't believe there's something else.
Yeah. But she said it more than once, so I'm pretty sure that's what she said.
Was she a white or black?
She's a white woman, but she looks like she's an Italian woman.
Oh boy.
But she looked like her body had been inhabited by a Southern Confederate white woman.
Oh wow. It's like the white woman who started, she had some sort of stroke or something and then woke up and started speaking like a Chinese person.
Yes, that's exactly what it was like. But then this happens. So the security guard comes over and he like a little bit stern, I think too stern almost, tells her to, you know, pipe it down or leave. And she goes, "Now wait a motherfucking minute."
What?
Who the fuck do you think you're talking to? So now she looks like a black woman or sounds like a black woman. And I'm like, is this a comedy set? Like, what is she doing?
Multiple personalities.
I think she has multiple personalities. And she sounds like a black woman cursing this dude out. And I'm like, this is wild. So he walks off. He does not want the heat. She starts collecting her bags. I thought she was walking after him, but she just was walking in that direction. She stopped for a moment and she just is still, she stays in the black woman character. And I can't hear what she's saying, but I can hear the cadence of what she's saying.
Right.
And she's just pissed off. And I'm like, this is some bizarre shit right here. Like, the library is probably the smartest place on the planet with the most eclectic, brilliant minds and people on various stages of the spectrum of sanity to insanity. And you can't keep any of them out unless they absolutely violate one of the rules.
That's a very nice way of saying the library is full of fucking weirdos. It's full of fucking weirdos.
It really
What? With this particular woman, I'm going to guess that she probably has read Toni Morrison, Alice Walker. She's probably read hundreds of books. And one day she had a psychological break caused by name that and was like, she became the characters out of these books and uses them accordingly.
Right.
What this motherfucker say to me?
Right.
She fucking turns into fucking a character out of an Alice Walker book. And then she's like some Confederate mama or some shit like that. The fuck?
Oh, so but she was a character. I had some beef that you guys are aware of. I'm not going to get into it, but I had them call me back to address it. while I'm in the library. So I got to look like one of these characters in the library.
The part of Mister is being played by Eldot.
Well, Kareem was definitely in the building. Security guard had to come over to me like, get out, it's too loud. I was like, all right, I'm moving. So I moved to the stairwell and got these people right where I want them now. So, because it actually turned out that they had been lying. And I was like, this is bizarre behavior. Mm. So bizarre to the point where I thought I was bugging out. Like, okay, maybe I'm...
You got gaslit?
For certain, because I was like, maybe I'm overreacting? And they will take care of this. But then it was clear that they weren't going to take care of it. And I was like, oh, no, we're not doing this. So got them into this exchange in writing. And then finally, I'm going to respond after we get off of this recording and just be like, gotcha. Because she messed up and she said something in her last email that is undeniably false.
And she obviously doesn't know... who you are and your alias Kareem, and that you will write emails and probably get at her.
You're right. So yeah, so I'm gonna respond to that and we'll see where we go from there. But the last thing I wanted to talk about was, oh, I talked about everything. I'm loving the fact that I have these notes. This makes my life so much easier. It puts less stress on my brain.
This
and I can easily say this is Leon. Is that's my check-in. And this is 50, and I'm done speaking.
What's good, people? This is Alaric. If you like the show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Tumblr, Reddit, Tumblr. Did I say Tumblr? Fluor. That's new. It's brand new. Just came out. Flug. Etsy, Pinterest, Friendster, Hamster, X-Hamster. Oh, wait, that's my private account. Don't follow that. Decoding 40. Yeah, so my check-in is going to be really quick. Just a quick update on my father and his health condition. He's seemingly doing much better. And I know that because he's arguing with me over every little thing. And it's difficult because I'm trying to explain to him, like, look, things are not going to be like they were before because you can't do certain things for yourself anymore. You can't leave and come back in the house by yourself. You can't, you know, do a variety of things without the aid of someone else. And so things are going to be different.
How is that going? He has an aide, right?
Yes, he has a home health aide that comes in 5 days a week, and usually on the weekends, my sister or I will, you know, come through. My sister will bring him food, and I'll go grocery shopping for him or whatever needs to be done, and also trying to look after, you know, his business and stuff. So it does make my schedule full. Right now, I'm checking in from West Virginia. I'm here for the week working on Barnwood Builders, shooting the next episode. And then I come back a little bit earlier than I normally do. So I'm coming back on Friday. But then Saturday, I have to jump back in and start working on his stuff. So I haven't gotten much of a break. And it's taxing, to say the least. I was tired before, but I'm really tired now. It's just like constantly on the move. And I'm looking forward to a point where everything is sort of at least settled or managed, handled, so that I can just relax for a minute and get a bit of me time. I don't know what that is going to be, but I need for that to happen. But like I was saying, I'm in West Virginia. It's really the place where we were shooting today was in, what was the name of the town again? It's close to White Sulphur Springs, and it's in the mountains, and it is absolutely beautiful. I mean, picturesque, rolling green hills, cows in the meadow. Like, it looks like a fucking postcard. Like, it's just this time of year, because it's spring, and everything is green, and budding, and flowers, and Like, it really is incredibly beautiful. And it just made me think, like, I would like my family to be able to see what this looks like. But I don't know, you know, where we'd probably drive through. I don't know if we'd stay, but, you know, we'd come through. We'd probably stay in White Sulphur. I think it's a cool little town.
White Sulphur. Okay. Cool. I mean, you know what? There's so many beautiful parts of America that you just like just driving through Jersey sometimes, or PA, or just there's just certain parts of Jersey that's really nice. I was working last week, and I was up in an area in northern Jersey that they have like these little streams and these little ponds, and
it's great to get out of the city.
Yeah, man, you get away from the hustle and bustle that is Jersey City, Brooklyn, Harlem. It just changes. It's a different energy. It's a different energy. It's peaceful. It's calm.
I don't know if I could. I couldn't live here full time, mm-hmm. but I definitely could do like a weekend vacation or a week vacation in, mm-hmm. you know, a lake house or, mm-hmm. you know, a little cabin in the mountains.
Plenty of whiskey and cigars.
Yeah, but it's got to have Wi-Fi. I'm not fucking around. We're not going to be that off the grid.
Semi off the grid.
Like, we're not going to be
that. We need Wi-Fi just in case Jason shows up or somebody. I don't, you know what I mean?
Or bears.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. I'm not having a bear shitting on my back.
I'm back, nigga. It's the bank we've been following, you nigga, me and my family.
Wait, now is White Sulphur black friendly?
You know, it's very multicultural, but I will say that most of the black folks that I've seen here, there's a big country club called the Greenbrier.
Oh.
And most, but not all, but most of the black folks that I've seen here, black and Latino folks that I've seen here, work at the country club, probably as wait staff and cooks and caddies and.
That's Charles. Charles is the one that makes our food at the Greenbrier.
But I believe White Sulphur Springs, their mayor, I think they have a black mayor.
What?
Hell, well, the mayor used to work at Greenbrier. He was actually the head chef. And we voted him in because that black person makes such great ribs. He's such a nice person. He's one of the good ones.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, I think in areas like this, racism is never overt. It's always covert because these people tend to be a little bit more affluent. So, yeah, they're not trying to blow the bag.
Mm-mm. Got it. Okay. It's, for the record,
secretly voting for Trump.
The mayor's name is Lloyd Haynes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's black.
Hey, Lloyd.
Hey there, y'all. Vote for me.
Lloyd does Monday. Look like he used to work at the Greenbrier.
That's Lloyd the mayor. He used to work at Greenbrier as well. He's such a nice
man. Oh.
Yeah, so that's it for my check-in, man.
Hello, my friend. This is Black Jesus. And when I'm down here on Earth, the first people I gotta come to bless is the good guys over at Decoding 40, because, you know, they doing my work. They doing God's work, because you niggas need guidance.
It's a burning question. And thinking about how the institution of marriage has evolved from matching families to combine wealth to now where we get married for love. But has the institution of marriage run its course?
I don't know if it's run its course. It's definitely evolved to something. It's. I don't know if it's going back to more of a financial thing than anything else, especially now in these days. Elle has sent an article and a couple articles. The first one dealing with the actual numbers and how they've evolved over time, and like back in the 1920s to the last 100 years, basically up until 2018, the study was done. I found it interesting that times in history, like let's say the 50s, that we were kind of fed this whole Leave It to Beaver ideal of marriage, that the numbers were lower than the 60s. And the 60s were a time of political turmoil and everything else, like the revolutionary time of the century, I would say. And the numbers went up. And in the 70s, where it was free love, it went even higher. And then now it seems like it's tapering down to the lowest it's ever been in history in this particular country, because they did a study that dealt with France and all of the rich countries, quote unquote, right? And the ages of when people get married. People are getting older now. People are marrying older now than they've ever done. I don't know if it's more about, I think it's returning to the old days where people are marrying now because of financial reasons. It's not the same because the dollar doesn't move the same. And you used to be able to get married and be the primary breadwinner and your wife was home and was the homemaker. Now you can't do that anymore. I think it's changing. It's going back to more of a financial thing.
You think people are getting married for financial stability?
I think that's a major reason involved. I think people fall in love, but one of the major things that leads to divorce is usually money problems. Mm-hmm. So I think because we're living in a society right now where money is like, again, you need two incomes to survive. I mean, just financially speaking, to be able to pay rent. I mean, rent is at an all-time high. Food is at an all-time high. So when you get married, if you're making X amount of dollars and your wife is making X amount of dollars and you guys are both good with money, I think that's on the top of the list as compared to what it was, let's say, 40 years ago where you got married. You fell in love with your high school sweetheart. He got a job working for the mill and was able to support the family. And she was able to stay home and be a homemaker. That's something you can't even do anymore. You need both incomes. So that's something that is in the forefront when you meet somebody. Well, are they stable though? Can they provide? Can we both provide to create this dream?
Right. But I don't think that's the sole motivator. And when we're talking about olden times, when the institution of marriage was founding, it wasn't about, oh, I met someone and let me see about their qualifications. It was my family has a daughter and your family has a son. And
we got goats,
200 goats. If we put them together, love, attraction, none of that was even involved. It had nothing to do with that. Hopefully you grew to like or love the person that you were with. Most times I suspect you didn't.
I think it's a hybrid now. There's an attraction there. You find someone, you love them. But I think that eventually that stuff starts to die down, right? And real life comes into play. And you have to be able to support a household. And it requires, in 2024, it requires two incomes. It's just the way it is. Right,
yeah, but that's now. You're talking hindsight. You're talking hindsight. You're talking about you're talking from a perspective of somebody who's been married, not the person who got married. Because the person who got married was not thinking about that.
I think they're thinking about it more often now than anything.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the numbers, when you look at the numbers, a lot of people are getting married and some people are not even getting married. They're just cohabitating. They're living with each other. Right. And I don't know if it's because they're afraid to get married and the possibility of divorce and losing everything. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I think that thought process is necessary nowadays. Mm. You have to think, how are we going to live?
Yeah. And I'm trying to think about in terms of from a 20-year-old mindset, like back in the days when everyone was in college or just graduating from high school, there is a mythology around marriage, right? Like you find someone that you are madly in love with and then you all will go and make these kids and buy this house and the car and the 2.5 and all that stuff. And then you get struck with the reality of what it is to be in a marriage. I think there's a couple of things that's happening. So I think as we get older, us speaking about our generation, we've become more reflective about the reality of what it takes to be married. Mm-hmm. And then that is smacked against what the societal expectation is, what it is to get married. Because you're right. That's why I thought what Vin was saying was so interesting, in that what's happening outside or happening in society sort of dictates the trend for marriage. And right now, for all intents and purposes, we live in a very conservative society, but marriage is on the decline or slow decline. And at least 50%, if not a little bit more, of marriages end in divorce. So what does that say when a conservative institution not as viable in a conservative environment socially?
What do you think are some of the benefits, or what were some of the benefits that encouraged people to get married that are no longer encouraging them to get married?
I think it's always been about security. And I think Hallmark and rom-coms sort of diluted that, right? So
De Beers.
De Beers, right. Yeah. Kay, and all the other jewelers, Blood Diamonds, Pauls.
Pauls?
I'm just saying, I just wanted to throw a pause in
there. I was like, I wasn't familiar with that terminology, but I will search it on the internet.
What does Blood Diamond really mean in the hood?
Right, right, right. Let's get to the bottom of that. But I think all of that has obscured what's really at the base of getting married, and that's security, that's safety, right? And then if you get into a marriage and you no longer have that, you really don't have the foundation of a strong marriage. So, and that's what starts to tear at the fibers of your relationship. So I think that's where we are socially, because financially times are tougher, and it's finance, communication, and I think the stage of where your kids are tend to dictate the level of stress and how wide the fissures become within your relationship.
I think that when you look at, so we're in 2024 and you look at where we are as a with Generation X, and we're all in our 50s, early, you know, almost 60 years old, this generation. And the ideals that we grew up believing in or seeing from either our parents or just examples from TV, I think that those ideals, we're trying to hold on to them. But financially, it's different. I think you have to also look at what happened in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, where women joined the workforce more than they ever had before. And they started to be more, have more power in as far as being able to make financial decisions.
Yes.
And having and creating their own security and not needing a man to do it.
Yes.
Right.
So I think that has kind of made it, well, you don't have to take care of me. I can take care of myself. And then, you know. And then the other side of it is that men, for the first time forever, I think, at least in this country, has been allowed to search their inner feelings and feel like, I don't know if I want to, you know, be this workhorse or whatever the situation is. I think men have been able to have been given the avenue to be able to speak their mind and how they feel. Before, it was like, shut up, go to work, do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. You know, just man up, so yeah. to speak. Man up, being able to actually share their selves, share their feelings and how they feel about things.
I think it evolved from a business transaction to an emotional transaction, right? So so in the 50s, 40s, the start of the 40s, there's not as many women in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So you are actually seeking stability because you can't make money on your own. In general, because mm-hmm. there's definitely outliers in that respect. But then as women are more in the workplace and have bigger jobs and have more well-paying jobs and who are beginning to have positions that are on the same level as men, the meaning and the purpose of marriage is also shifting and evolving at the same time, mm-hmm. because now it's focused solely on, do I want to be with this person? Do I want to spend my life with this person? Do I want to share a life with this person? It's no longer a necessity for you to be with this person so that you can have a home, or right. you can move out of your parents' house so you can have children. You know what I mean? Like, there's no longer required for that to happen.
I think it is true that men are able to be more reflective, even though we still haven't reached that tipping point where they're actually allowed to explore those feelings. And I think that is causing also some friction in our society, right? Because like you said, women are able to be breadwinners, are able to support themselves and establish themselves in ways that they weren't able to decades past. But now men are, because I'm saying to myself, this has been like a tumultuous year and a half, almost 2 years, but my identity has been rooted in working, right? So you're talking about since 14, mm-hmm. I've had a job earning a paycheck. Mm-hmm. So that is a part of my DNA. That has been sort of ingrained in my mind. Like, you have to work, you mm-hmm. have to work. And then the whole societal pressure of the man and the husband provides. If you're not providing, then you're not a man, you're not a father, mm-hmm. and all that other stuff, right? So fast forward into 2024, how do you deal with that when you aren't necessarily the breadwinner, or you aren't that dogmatic caricature of what a man is supposed to be, right? So now you have to deconstruct that, figure out where you are in yourself, and then try to figure out how do I move from this point on as a more reflective and a more authentic version of myself?
That's a great question. And I think that we have to really redefine what our contributions to the family is. Mm-hmm. Because once we're locked into our own egos, we're not thinking about what are we doing for the team? Right.
Right.
We're not thinking about the team. We're thinking about ourselves and where our place is in this. But how do we push the team forward? And I think that that's how you have to redefine it. You have to figure out like what my role is in making this team successful, making this family successful.
I think it goes along with everything you guys said and being able to adjust to the new economic reality that we live in. And that all works hand in hand. So like being able to say, hey, it takes X amount of dollars now to be considered, quote unquote, comfortable. And what does that take? So you have to be able to communicate with your better half and say, OK, this is what it takes for us to be comfortable. And are you comfortable, whatever your position is, whether she makes more money, you make more. Are we secure enough to have this conversation and communicate what we need to be comfortable, because that's a reality, right? Because marriage, the biggest thing that leads to divorce is a lot of times is money and how it's managed. And in today's society where we need so much more money to just fucking live, that's one of the main factors. You have to be comfortable enough and have that conversation and say, hey, this is what we both need to do to make sure that this engine runs. And sometimes we as men get caught up in this. I'm the man. I'm supposed to do. You're willing to fucking burn yourself out because right. of this ideal that we're trying to hold on to that in today's society, realistically, we just can't anymore because nobody's making $200,000 a year. I mean, people do that, but still the average American doesn't make that.
Right.
That's just the reality of it. Right. So, you know, that goes hand in hand.
Yeah. The cost of living is not on the same level as it was for our parents or our grandparents, because, you know, my father, I think I may have told the story when my mother and he bought the house I grew up in, he was making $18,000 a year, but the house cost $48,000 a year.
$4,800.
No, it cost $48,000.
Yeah. The house itself. Yeah. But the mortgage was like,
no. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
$100 a month.
$200 or something. Yes. I don't know.
It was probably like about $250 because my pops told me when they bought the house in Canberra Heights, because we live in the same neighborhood, I think they said, my father said he paid, because this is like in the 70s, they paid like $30,000 for the house. And that's on the higher end. And the mortgage was $238 a month.
Yeah. Mm. And that was it was affordable.
A full house.
So the, right. so the idea of having one person working and the wife would stay home completely made sense in New York.
Yes.
Completely was doable.
Yes.
There's no way you could do that.
No.
I mean, it's not saying there's no way you could do that now, but
harder to do.
One person's going to have to be making $500,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody can stay home and be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's
where we're at.
Yeah. But I think there's less of a desire to do that too. I don't think my wife wants to be a stay-at-home mom. I know I don't want to be a stay-at-home dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think there's less desire for that position also.
All around. Yeah, you're right.
I think as a society, we become more individually, I don't want to say the word selfish, but we're more individual-based. Everybody's a champion. Everybody wants to be their individual person. And a lot of the team work that is required in a marriage with the newer generations is difficult for them to kind of really, some of them to really grasp. It's a lot about, hey, I can do this myself. I don't need X, Y, Z to do it. I'm going to do it by myself. And then that it's okay now for a single woman to have a child or a single man to have a child. There's really no rules quote unquote rules that we grew up believing in or following that exists now. Everybody can do. You could basically go adopt a child. You could do everything you want to do without that other individual. So that to help you. So
I think those. And I think those options sort of lend itself to. And you didn't want to use the word selfish, but I think it is some level of selfishness or at least self-centeredness that we as a society are encouraging people to lean into in order to live your best life, right? Or
I would just want to amend that to American society.
Yeah.
Because it's not a global phenomenon. America is all about the individual. While I think other societies are more about the community. Even within our own country, Black people are more about community than others. Asian people are more about community than others. In America?
I think from an economic standpoint, if you look at the actual, when you looked at the study that based on that article, they took like nine of the richest countries, and the numbers all kind of match up as far as the lows and highs of marriage. So mm-hmm. I think when a society gets to a certain level economically as a whole, I think the actual structure changes and people, because you have to survive now. So things start to change based on how you survive. Not to say that there's no community, there's no thought of that there, but I think certain ideals need space to kind of go left or right because of things are more expensive and things of that nature. So I think the richer the society gets, the more the cost of living goes up. I think we all follow the same type of patterns, and that's based on the statistics. It's just on the numbers of the marriages going up and down.
Yeah, and I want to push back on what Rick said, and maybe I just want to clarify the point. I'm not suggesting that the global trend is people being self-centered, right? But I think if we think in terms of a pendulum swinging, I think there is a tendency for individuals to seek more individualized truth. So when they are turning away from tradition, that is them choosing themselves. And yes. I think younger people are tending to do so. They may turn back to the tradition when they get older, because people become more conservative as they get older. But I'm just saying that I think now there's an emphasis on you have to get yours. This is your life. You have to live the life that you are here. You have to find your purpose. And all this type of language that we're starting to use now is, I think, centered around this idea of being self-fulfilling.
That correlates with the numbers of people getting married older now. People getting married in their 40s, as opposed to they did the numbers on it. Like 40 years ago in the 70s, people got married in their 20s. Now more people are getting married in their mid 30s to early 40s, just because probably what you just said, people like, I got to get mine first. And once I get mine, you turn around, oh, I'm 35. Well, who can I share my life with? Back in the day, it was like, we're 20s. One, you could, like Rick, you said earlier, for $18,000, you can get married at 20 and be able to live. But now it's like everybody's got to get theirs, bring something to the table and say, all right, let's get it. Let's put it together. But that's like in your 30s. It takes time to get to a top salary to make a good money and everything else. But anyway,
I feel like we're having two different conversations at the same time. But
I think you had
that was very confusing. I'm just going to take it back to the original question and just ask, do you think that the institution of marriage has run its course?
I think it has. I think there's a pendulum swing that, based on the conditions, it could swing back where marriages become more important than they are now. But I think people are choosing to either co-parent, cohabitate, and alleviate themselves from the stress of the institution of marriage. I know one of the questions that I had also posed was, would you encourage your children to get married? I can't say that I would. Also, I'm more open to various different dynamics of what family can look like, right? So me coming up, being in a marriage was idealistic.
Yeah.
I can't say that I'm as idealistic as I was back in my 20s.
I got to say, it's still kind of, this is the conservative part of me. And I would I encourage my children to get married? If that's what they wanted to, if that made them happy, I wouldn't discourage them. But I wouldn't say, oh, no, you have to get married. You have to get married. You have to get married. That I would not do that. But if they wanted to get married, yeah, I'd be right behind them.
Yeah.
I think because I'm thinking about building this family unit, for me, I didn't have that. I didn't have the unit that I'm trying to build. Mm-hmm. So I have a few objectives. Setting the example, also building a strong unit, and this legacy. Because I'm thinking beyond me, beyond my children, how does that reflect? What does that say about our society? Or if I want to see something different, how am I contributing to the perception of it? How am I contributing to the lives that come after me. Yeah. So I would say that I don't think that the institution has completely run its course, but I think it is changing course.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. When you say changing course, what do you mean changing in what aspect, or what's the most important aspect you think is changing?
The most important aspect that I think is changing is I think we're letting go of that 1950s idealistic image of June and Ward Cleaver. First of all, we didn't live through it. We only saw the images after. So in our eyes, this is how the world existed because we weren't there. This is just the message. This is how we were told to view this world, but that wasn't the reality. But now we're so far removed from that idea. Like we have to reshape and reform the idea of what these relationships, what these bonds mean.
I think we're moving away, like Rick said, from the 50s. And I think it's people are thinking past the love part of it. And I think that correlates with the numbers and how people are getting married older. Mm-hmm. People are waiting. People are living a little bit more, living life on their own terms, a longer period of time before they get married, as opposed to we were high school sweethearts. We got married in our 20s and lived our life. I think there's so many different factors, financial being one of the biggest ones, I think, that we're moving away from the 50s thing and people are taking a little more time before they take that step. And really,
but I think there was also societal pressures on men and women to get married back then, mm-hmm. right? So now I think particularly older Black women were encouraging younger Black women to go to school, to get degrees, to become more educated. Mm-hmm. So there is with that a tendency for Black women to marry later in life. And I think according to some of the stats that were in the article, at the same time, Black women are most likely to initiate a divorce.
Ooh.
So there you have it.
I had enough. See ya.
I'm educated now.
So, all right. I mean, it's a very interesting topic. We definitely, if you're listening and you have some opinions about this, don't just text us individually. Don't just call us individually. Text the show, 619-940-4040. Email us.
Send us a question and we can revisit it because it's a big topic. It's more than a show.
Huge.
It's huge. Yeah. You know, it's affecting how society kind of moves right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big thing.
Money. This one is light work for you guys. It's not.
Uh-oh.
It's not that big.
So no, not cleaning really shit out of an Indian sewer.
No, not this week. This week you're safe.
All right.
You can take your waiter boots off. There's no
fecal matter anywhere. No, great.
Not at all. This is a simple question. Would you rather receive $1,000 tax free every day, or get $10 million cash tax-free today?
You just got to eat doo-doo. Every time.
Cash it with a knit needle.
I mean, if you'd like to, I mean, you can do whatever you want with your money.
I don't want
it's
no
your money.
No, thank you.
$1,000 a day?
Yeah.
As opposed to $10 million. I'm taking $1,000 a day.
Why?
Because, I mean, I'm just doing the math in my head. I'm not going to need $1,000 a day. And I think.
Okay. Sorry. I meant to say for the rest of your life. $1,000 a day for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking $1,000 a day.
Give me the $10 million right now. J.G. Wentworth, I need my cash right now.
Well, that's $365,000 a day. I mean, a year. So basically, in a year and a half, I could pay off my house. Right, less
than
that.
You can pay it off in one day.
Yeah, but you have the potential to have more money. Well, no,
how?
You know what? Let me hold on. 10 million.
So basically, it'll be 15 years
for me to get to $10 million.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know what? I might take the $10 million because at 65, who's to say? Who's to say I might be around? So $10 million will change your whole life. No more blood pressure pills. No more pressure at all. Just no more pressure.
My blood pressure pill is the beach.
Listen, there's no pressure on an Aruban beach at all.
That's my pressure pill. Thought was I wanted to take the $1,000 a day because that was my initial thought. Because
why?
Because even beyond, I expect that I'm going to live beyond 15 years. So mm-hmm. I will have more money mm-hmm. beyond that. But there's a few things that I want to do today mm-hmm. that I need that $10 million for.
Yeah. We're still relatively young and healthy right now. So that $10 million can just.
Yeah. There's a lot of real estate I would like to get into. And that $10 million would set me straight.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Yeah. Because, and this is conservatively, you would get about $365,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that? Times 15, that's only 5.4 million.
So that's 30 years you'd have to get.
Yeah.
Yes, I messed that up.
I was going to say you must have messed
up. It was supposed to be 5 million.
That's that whiskey math.
It was supposed to be 5 million.
That's that whiskey math.
But fuck it. $10 million. You got me. You know, since it's in there, you got it.
Yeah, let me take that $10 million. Because really, it's tax free.
It's supposed to be 5 million.
And it's tax free. So really, that was the first million you're straight. You've paid all your bills off. You paid off any mortgage. You're good. You got $9 million more.
You're on every beach.
Yes.
Every season.
I don't think I'm not vacationing ever again. I'm just going to be on a constant vacation.
Yeah. $10 million will probably carry you to the end of your life.
Yes.
But if you start spending like you're going to get $10 million every year, it's not going to last long.
Well, look at this. This is what I would do. You got $10 million. You could take 2.5 of it. You can make sure that both your children have a house or real estate that's going to mature. You can set them up with a nice annuity that they can get after 40 years old. You've paid for their college. You can set them up good with like the first $3 million and everybody's good. Like they got a house, they've got, you know, a potential for annuity when they get a certain age, they've got insurance policies, they're taken care of. Then you could take the rest of the money and kind of just do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Yeah, college is $500,000, by the way.
But my thing is, if you set something up now, an investment for them now, by the time they get of college age, it'll be paid for. You take $100,000 now and put it in conservative investments, it'll definitely mature to more than $500,000 by the time they're college age. In 10 years, it'll be worth $1 million easily.
Yep.
So they're good. And then you buy them a house or you buy them a property in their name that is brand new somewhere and you're renting it, whatever, and that money's going into an account for them and generating money for them. They're good. You could take the next $7 million, son, and I'm on a beach. Airbnb is my friend and not no bullshit Airbnb. I mean, what are we doing here? The finest wines. Like, I'm taking wine tours and orchards. Nigga, I'm doing. Listen, bruh.
I'm partnering vineyards.
Yeah.
Hello, wines. You got.
Well, what are you never coming off vacation? What are you going to do when you get off vacation?
Plan my next one.
Right. Matter of fact, I've planned it already. Yeah. I'm headed there.
Yeah.
I would not just not work.
No, because you love what you do. Yeah. You love what you do. You like the art of photography, you like editing, you really like. Matter of fact, I can see you taking some of that money and investing in like hell of equipment, a nice studio, and then either running a studio or doing that type of work where it's your dream now. That's what you're really fulfilling that.
Yeah, yes, for sure. I would invest in that, but I would not open a studio or anything like that. But I would, like I said, I would definitely jump into real estate. I would buy empty lots. I would buy.
Look, okay, you have it. You could develop.
Fucking, yeah, that. But yeah, see, but that's your passion.
I enjoy that. Yeah, I would enjoy that. Yeah.
That's your passion. My passion is to be on a beach and drink.
That's, yeah, my passion is vacation. That's my passion. That's my
proof. And just conservatively, you know, I'll just have a joint every once in a while. But the wine, the wine is a flowing.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'm on a beach. So it looks like me and Elle be hanging out. You can come join us whenever you feel like being bored with us. Oh my God, another beach day?
No, exactly.
Fuck.
I'm talking to wine bottles. Have you ever been swallowed?
Hold up. It's going to be me and Elle be on a beach like a Trading Places. How about both? Would you like the crab lobster? How about both? Excellent choice, Mr. Perez. Feeling good, Billy Ray.
Oh.
Yo, what?
Sure.
I'm not working a motherfucking thing. The only thing I'm working is my hand when I'm ringing the bell to get me some more drinks and food.
That's a fact.
Oh, shit. Be like, yo, Rick, you doing any real estate deals? Yeah, we're in the fucking Maldives right now. You know, come catch up with us.
Yeah, I will eventually. Yeah.
Oh man.
Recording 40.
I think that was another great show. I think some very great information, and we talked about some very important things affecting our lives, affecting other people's lives. And it's a serious topic. And we didn't really get into the great divorce article, but
We can save that for another time.
Yeah, we can save that for another time.
Definitely.
But if you have some questions, comments, opinions that you want to share with us, text us 619-940-4040. If you want to email us, you can email us at decoding40@gmail.com. Hit us up on social media, IG, Facebook, Twitter, at decoding40.
If you want to go fund us for our $10 million so me and Elle can hit beaches and Rick can buy real estate, $ Dakota 40. Please. It starts with
Obrigado.
A dollar.
Obrigado. Yes. In advance.
Obrigado.
Every dollar counts. Tell the other 999,999 of your friends.
Got to start somewhere.
We'll get it
gotta
together.
Start somewhere.
So what did you learn this week?
I haven't learned this, but people are just nasty. Stay woke and keep your distance.
I learned that nothing beats a $5 copayment.
Yes.
And you need coverage in this world, because without coverage, you're going to have some fucked up teeth, high cholesterol with no medication in sight.
Mm.
So, you know, coverage is important. When you're 20, you're not thinking about it. When you get to our age, shit is important. So get good coverage.
I learned this week that if you get upgraded to a junior suite, do not tell anyone else in the crew. Because they're all complaining about how small their rooms are. And I got a couch.
Oh. Does anybody know?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And by the time this airs, they won't.
By the time this airs, we'll be gone. Thank you for joining us again for this episode of Decoding 40. It's been a pleasure to talk to my friends and share this with you. And come back next week, because there's another episode every Friday.
No doubt.
So we're going to say that one word.
Peace.
Peace. I got two more. Go Knicks.
Oh, you can't say peace again.
Peace.
Peace. This one. Like my OCD.
Hey.
Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.